listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thank you for joining us as we continue his Wake Up Call on Sportsmap Radio. Good Tuesday to you. One programming note, I'm on vacation next week, but I'm also off Friday. So my wife and I are going on this 25th anniversary cruise for our anniversary, but I have to drive down to Miami. So it's going to take me two days to boogie down there, pick up my son and head on down. So I'm taking Friday off and then I'll be back after the week. Then we'll be back just the beginning of July. And then it's not long after that. The reason I bring it up, it's not long after that that we're going to start our NFL previews. We do a division every single week for 8 weeks leading up to the start of the season. It's really good. A really good time. We will break down a team a day for that week four. And then Friday, we sort of revamp it. But as we've said many times, Friday also gives us a buffer in case we misconnect on a guest or whatnot. We have that Friday to sort of make that good so that we get a complete view of the division all 8 weeks. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, saving drivers hundreds on their car insurance. Visit them for a quote today at progressive.com. You can save nearly $700 on average. Zach Harper joins us from The Athletic to talk NBA with the draft coming up on Thursday. And, of course, the news of Bradley Beal going in the deal to Phoenix. How are you, Zach?
I'm excellent. How are you doing?
Good. Let's talk about this Bradley Beal potential deal when it finally gets finalized. You know, we get why Washington's do it from a standpoint of Phoenix. What are the pluses of this, but what are also some of the negatives of this?
Look, I think people have tried to get a little too cute with things and be like, well, I don't think you want a super team. I don't think you need it. And look, there are complications that come in the new collective bargaining agreement with it, and those are financial complications, not just from a money standpoint, but from a how you build your roster standpoint that Phoenix has to solve. And they kind of have to solve it this offseason when they have their most flexibility. But you want as much talent on the floor as possible. We saw during that NBA Finals, Miami, a very good defensive team, struggled to guard two of those guys, right, when it was Nikola Jokic and it was Jamal Murray. If you have three of those guys, not only is it make it harder to guard when they're on the floor together, it also means you always have one of those guys in your rotation on the floor, right? Like, you're always going to have at least one All-NBA, All-Star player on the floor if your rotation is right. And so I just think that, look, it's going to be a little bit of an odd fit, but I think it fits better than people are giving it credit for. The tricky part is, how do you fill out that roster? I would expect DeAndre Ayton to be moved for two or three guys to help that depth. They really need to get to about eight guys for a playoff rotation. And just, you know, maybe the trickiest part of it all is Kevin Durant's got to stay healthy. Bradley Beal's got to stay healthy. Neither have a great history of that the last few years.
Do you think that they're, not from a practical standpoint from an NBA side, but maybe the fans, do you think that what the Nuggets were able to do sort of made people think that the immediate super team creation is not the way to go, given that the Nuggets sort of built this team over time, but that patience is really what is needed there, and some teams don't want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, patience is always the way in sports, right? You see those teams often get rewarded. It may not be right away, but that patience is big. I mean, we see coaches get fired, you know, 2 years into it. We see coach of the year get fired. We see guys get traded right away. We see guys wanting to leave right away. I mean, yeah, patience is always going to be the way to go. And Denver's a great model for it. I mean, the Warriors were a great model for it, right? I mean, I know things got a little murky once Kevin Durant went there, but that was a team that drafted the majority of those guys and developed and were, you know, patient. And I think that, you know, Denver's a good model. It's just, there's not one way to build a championship team. There are a bunch of ways to do it, and this could be one of them as well.
All right, let's get to Golden State. What do you think will likely happen with Draymond Green? There's this talk about the Lakers, but could he stay in Golden State for less money but get the long-term security he's looking for?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely scenario. I mean, people have been joking on the internet for a long time that, you know, Draymond is LeBron's biggest fan and he wants to play with them, which is all probably true. I think for their situation, they're likely to give him the long-term security he's looking for. I don't think he's going to want to actually leave, but we've seen crazier things happen before. But I expect him to leave. I expect him to re-sign and then for them to adjust this roster around him. I think the trickier part is Klay Thompson moving forward, because while he looks pretty good since that coming back from the injury. He doesn't look like Klay Thompson, right? It doesn't look quite that great. And so from there, you got to figure out what that means for him financially.
Yeah, what is your feeling on that? I mean, with so many things going on in the Western Conference, how open is that window for Golden State? I know they just won a title a year ago, so it's hard to say it's closed. It's not that, but how open is it?
I think it's still open. I mean, I think the tricky part with last season, look, they had plenty of issues on the court. I think it's that one player punched another and then the video got out.
Right,
like, I don't
point.
Think they ever recovered from that,
yeah.
You know? Like, there are plenty of basketball things that could have been cleaned up. But I don't even think it's the punch. I think it's the fact that the video got out. I think it was that embarrassment. I just don't think they ever recovered from it. You can recover from that. You can trade Jordan Poole or they can get over it. But I think now they've kind of seen, oh, this is the embarrassment of what that looks like for a year. And you expect professionals to be professionals.
What do we make of Damian Lillard in Portland? What is Portland saying? What do we read the tea leaves and what Damian Lillard wants?
I mean, I think he wants to win in Portland. I think he wants to be viewed as loyal. And I think Portland can't do what he needs them to do. Like this front office that took over once Neil O'Shea was out, and I'm not a Neil O'Shea guy, so I'm not defending him. But this front office has botched just about every move that they've made trying to put a roster around it. I mean, yes, last year was supposed to be the one where, all right, they retooled. They have a competitive roster around him. They sat him for like the last month and a half because they needed to tank because they had no chance of actually winning. I think they should trade him and start a proper rebuild. I don't think they will do that. I think they're going to dangle that third pick. You know, maybe that gets them a Siakam or a Karl Anthony Towns or Zion or something, but they're not one move away from competing, you know, with the best in the West, as good as Lillard is. Like they just have so many issues on that roster. They need an overhaul. I think they'll keep him and I think they'll try to retool, and I don't think it's going to work.
On Thursday night with the first round, what are you personally looking at? Is there a story that you're like, gee, whether it's, you know, New Orleans moving up or something else happening, are you watching something in particular that you think might happen on Thursday night in terms of pick swapping or trading, involving picks, however it's going to work out?
I think it's going to be absolute chaos. I really do.
Like,
I think that's fun for us, right? Like, it's going to be like, once we're done celebrating Victor Wembanyama as the number one pick, literally anything could happen. Charlotte could move number two, Portland could move number three, Houston could move number four. You know, Orlando might try to move up with 6 and 11. They might try to move down. The Jazz might try to move up. Like, I think Toronto's trying to make big moves. I think Atlanta's trying to make big moves. It wouldn't shock me if we saw, you know, 15 trades that are pretty significant that night. I think DeAndre Ayton might be moved by then. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of chaos, and in our heads they're going to be spinning.
A lot of attention will be on Victor Wembanyama, of course. It's almost like a mini coronation, if you will. But after that, how deep is this draft? How many talented players can go as far down as that talent will let them?
I mean, I think it's 10 deep of like significant players. I think there's a lot of talent here. Like, Scoot Henderson's going to be a monster. He's going to be so good. I think Brandon Miller maybe is a little overvalued for what he is right away, but long term he projects to be an excellent player. Cam Whitmore is an incredible scorer. The tricky thing is the Thompson brothers, right? The guys who played in the overtime elite. I've talked to a bunch of executives, and the overall feeling is, we don't know what to make of them. Not that they're not talented. It's that we don't know what to make of the league they just played in. Like, they have power plays. Like, it's not normal basketball. Like, that league has power plays. They're like, we don't know. Like, we think these guys are going to be good. They've got the body for it, the athleticism, their skill set is pretty solid. But we don't know what to make of the competition they just played against for a year. And so, but I think they have a high ceiling. Jairus Walker has got a high ceiling. Like, there's just a lot of guys that you would love to add to your team right away.
Zach Harper, The Athletic, on the NBA draft on Thursday night, and of course all the moves that we've been seeing already this week, or at least conversations of moves that we've been seeing this week. Zach, good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.
You got it, Zach Harper. The Athletic. Good stuff at The Athletic. I highly recommend that their site. They've got some really great in-depth stuff. And plus, you can customize it. It's a really good site. But anyway, talking about, again, the Thompson brothers, as he mentioned, from Overtime Elite, they're expected to be top 10 selections. I'm interested in Brandon Miller. I liked Brandon Miller, and I know there was it was controversy last season. I know that he was involved, or at least there was an association with him bringing a gun to the situation in Tuscaloosa that ended the life of a young woman. I understand that, you know, there were some people who said, well, he didn't really do what people thought he did, et cetera. There's a lot of controversy around him. But overall, he was a solid, solid player for Alabama. He was the guy that you were watching because he was going to be a top NBA pick this season. If you were watching SEC basketball this year, and especially watching anything Brandon Miller was doing, you weren't watching to see what he was going to do with Alabama. Alabama was a top team in the nation all year because of him being on it. But this is Victor Wembanyama's show. There's no question about it. This is the guy that when he gets drafted by the Spurs, now it's clock is ticking to see what his impact is in the NBA. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us.